Hello and welcome to Rewatchable, episode number 323. Today we're discussing Veronica Mars, season 4, episode 4, Heads You Lose. My name is Danielle and I will be your host today. And I am joined by two lovely ladies. We have today Mai and Ariana.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. If you would like to get in contact with us, which we really hope that you do, you can do so through multiple avenues. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us. We're at re_watchable. You can find us on Tumblr. We're at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also join our Facebook group. We're Rewatchables Rewinders. Just search for that on Facebook. We should come up. We've got Veronica Mars stuff basically in our profile picture cover photo, so it shouldn't be too hard to locate. And we have some pretty good conversations there, if I do say so myself. But we would always love more and talking to more people, so please come join us. Again, that's Rewatchables Rewinders. Now, like I said at the top of the episode, my name is Danielle. I will be your host today, and for those of you keeping count, for this entire Veronica Mars round, it'll be always me. So you are probably going to start getting used to my voice. But as always, we like to start each episode with fun facts so you can get used to everyone's voices. Mai, would you like to go first this week with your fun fact?
Sure. I don't know how fun it is, but this past weekend we went out to the cemeteries back where my dad is from, and we took care of the graves and stuff, and I accidentally stumbled upon one that we didn't know of that was my great-great-grandfather's.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought so. He was born in 1846, so it's like, it was an oldie.
How often do you guys go to do some grave cleaning? Or was this not, like a special?
Unfortunately, not that often.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a long drive, but like a couple times a year. It's a relatively big family, so it's not always us. But it's just a nice thing to do sometimes.
It is. That's really great that you do that. I think you do it, honestly, more often than other people do.
I mean, got to take care of them or they won't be there.
Exactly. I think that's a fun fact. I think that's really cool. And that you stumbled on an unknown grave or a grave that you didn't think was there, or didn't know was there.
Yeah, I got to introduce my dad to his relative for the first time because I've been doing like research on the family and stuff. So I know a lot.
Ah.
I recognized the name and I was like, guys, come over. His family too.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Really cool. Ariana, what is your fun fact for the week?
My fun fact is that I started reading a book, which is like a big deal because I never read books anymore, even though it's my favorite thing, I think, ever. And anyway, it's turning into my favorite thing ever. I'm reading The Cruel Prince by Holly Black. It's very, very good. That's it.
I mean, that's a pretty big thing because you are always so busy. I know that you don't have time to read as much anymore.
Well, mostly the reason, there's two big reasons why I don't really read anymore. One is because I'm worried that if the book is too good, then I won't do anything else, which is kind of what, I mean, that's what's happening.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and the other one is, so I try to find books that are like not as good so that I won't do that, but then they're not as good and it's frustrating. So
it's weird how that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, that's quite the pickle. Well, I'm both happy and sorry that you found The Cruel Prince then.
It has a sequel, so I'm excited. I think I'm going to finish this one today and then go pick up the sequel.
I mean, I feel like that is a good long weekend activity.
Yeah. That's awesome. I have things to do. It's fine.
Why do you guys have a long weekend?
Say that again?
Why do you have a long weekend?
We have a holiday called Labor Day. It's always the first Monday in August. So it's a long weekend. A lot of people, it's like an unofficial goodbye to summer kind of weekend for a lot of people. And then people really start getting into fall stuff come Tuesday. Even if the weather is super hot still in places. But yeah. My fun fact for the week is that I have the most awesome roommate ever. On Friday night, the two of us ordered a ton of food from Domino's and then watched and quoted the entirety of Pirates of the Caribbean, like back and forth to each other while watching it, which I haven't watched that movie in years. And that is the movie that first got me into like the idea of fandom. And it was like the first thing I was a huge fan of. And I love it so much. And I forgot how much I love it and how much Orlando Bloom paved the way for my love for Chris Evans. So it was really fun to do that. And then actually after we are done recording today, we are going into one of the neighborhoods in the city. And we're going to a brunch place or a restaurant that does brunch. And the restaurant is like Ron Swanson themed. So we're going to go get our Parks and Rec on while we eat breakfast. I'm very excited. And I'm very grateful to have such a cool roommate. And it's okay to be jealous. It's fine.
In case you're wondering. I am. A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Good. Good, good. All right. So that's enough of our fun facts for today. Let's jump into our discussion of this episode of Veronica Mars. Again, this is season 4, episode 4, and it's called Heads You Lose. For very good reason, which we will get to in a few minutes. But before we get into it, we have just like a short recap for you. Basically, in this episode, the third bomb had gone off in the last one, or the second bomb had gone off, excuse me, in the last one. And so now everyone's kind of running around trying to figure out what's going on. Veronica's visiting old perps in jail. Logan is quipping everywhere and Keith is making friends with the bad guys. Or so we think. But before we talk about any of that, I want to talk about Dick because obviously this episode opens on Dick and he's flirting with Sarah Hyland. I know the name. I knew her face. Where is she from again?
Modern Family, I think.
Got it.
I never watched that show.
I didn't either.
But she's basically the only famous...
You guys, you're embarrassing yourselves.
I know. I embarrass myself frequently. Please school me.
That's not new.
Oh, well, she's on Modern Family. She plays Haley Dunphy, the oldest sister. She's pretty famous now. I mean, she's pretty A-list. Not really. I mean, B-plus list. she just recently sold a pilot. Literally last week, she sold a pilot that she wrote. So good for her.
Cool.
I mean, I
know her. I just don't watch the show.
See, I didn't know her face. I know her name, though.
Yeah, because they won all the awards, so they're hard to miss.
That's awesome. Well, then that's a... I mean, she was out of Dick's league previously, but now she's definitely out of Dick's league.
I don't know. She is engaged to a guy from Bachelor in Paradise. So,
oh, that's
really?
A 10.
That's interesting. Okay. So maybe Dick has a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So Dick is obviously being Dick, but he actually doesn't look so bad. Because when he's flirting with this girl, this other guy comes up and is so much worse. So Dick looks great by comparison, which made me really happy. The sad thing about this scene with Dick is that basically they're saying why he's probably not going to be around much longer. And that's because he's going to go film a movie elsewhere and not be on the show as much anymore, which is very sad. I'm always sad to see Dick go.
I mean, playing a mannequin would be perfect for him.
I mean, yeah.
I'm so confused as to why he's not in more of this season. Like, he doesn't play a larger role.
Yeah.
Because his dad is such an important role this season. And Dick seems like the only... like, he's kind of the only person in Veronica's life who's semi-connected to what's happening
mm-hmm.
in the major mystery plot. I don't know. I'm just very... When I was watching this the first time, I was like, oh, this is fun. I love having Veronica again. And the more I think about it now, like I was thinking about it this morning, and I was like, this season was such a wasted opportunity in so many ways.
Yeah, I'm feeling that a little bit. Sometimes it feels like they haven't watched the other seasons. Maybe they've forgotten too much.
And I don't know, hopefully this guy, what's his name in real life? Hopefully he had some work. That's why he couldn't do more episodes.
Yes, I think his name is Ryan Hansen. And I think that was the reason why, because I went searching for why he wasn't in more of this season as well, because I had the same thoughts that you did. His dad is a big focus, at least, and like doing something. He was at least filming a movie, and I can't remember what it was. I don't think it has come out yet, but he had another job that he had to do, so we only had limited availability.
I was just gonna say, like, another person who should have been in this season a lot more is Wallace.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely zero sense why he's not in more of this season. He works at the school that Maddie, like, goes to,
that all of these kids go to.
Yeah. He's like Veronica's only friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, her gopher too.
Yeah. Yeah. Why isn't she asking him for more favors?
I think this season,
we'll talk about this more later. Like, I just feel like there's some like reveals later that I'm just like, this would have been better if we cared more. Anyway.
Yes, I agree with you, like, really hard on that, and I want to come back to that towards the end.
Last Ryan Hansen comment, I promise. But doesn't he look like whatever his name is, Kirsten Bell's husband?
Dax Shepard?
Yeah, like this season especially.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Kirsten Bell definitely has like a vibe that she vibes with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's like, it's funny. I understand why Ryan Hansen is her best friend, because he does seem very much like her husband.
It's so interesting to like watch Instagram stuff with the three of them, because they're so close.
Yeah. They used to live together and stuff.
And like Ryan Hansen and her husband are super close, and they look a lot alike a lot of times, or they act the same way. You're right. She does have a sort of type.
Good for her.
So unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Dick for the most part. I can't remember if he pops back up again or not. But at least he's working. At least he's doing something. So I'm happy for him to be doing that, even if I don't see him. Let's see what else. I want to get to the sender in a second. But before we get to talking about the sender and all the stuff that goes down with him, I want to talk about my second favorite scene and something that I thought was really interesting and didn't know was going to happen. And that is Veronica going to Chino and talking to some people that she had put away during the original run of the show. Actually, specifically during the third season. So she goes to Chino to try to get information on Clyde and Big Dick. And to get that information, interestingly enough, she talks to Tim, the TA, and Mercer, the Hearst campus rapist. Now, I did not look up any casting information while this was being shot, so I didn't know who was going to be popping up in this. And when I saw Tim the TA and when I saw Mercer, I was really surprised. It caught me off guard. And while it feels like this season forgets a lot of things or like a lot of where it came from, I was really, I don't know, not impressed, but I really enjoyed how they brought in these two people, even though it seems like a little bit of a stretch because I don't think everybody in jail knows everybody, but I've never been there, so I don't know. But anyway, you know, it's fine. This all to say, was it a surprise to you to see these two bad guys back again in this capacity? And was it something that was enjoyable?
When she went to the jail, the first thing I thought of was Mercer.
Interesting.
So that was not surprising. I was confused because I totally forgot Tim the TA existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he shows up first, I was like, he really doesn't look like Mercer.
yeah.
And so like I had to like Google season 3.
I mean,
to remember
fair.
Who he was.
What, why were you thinking about Mercer immediately? Because I haven't thought about
it. I think of Mercer as like the season 3 villain. He's
that's fair.
The only villain who's alive, right?
He was what? Sorry.
I think he's the only villain we have who's alive. I mean, I guess Tim the TA too. But I forget Tim the TA.
Forgot about him again.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Aaron and Cassidy are dead.
I mean, it depends on what you consider a villain, I guess. But yeah, I think so.
What was the third plot line or the third mystery in season 3?
Oh, the murder thing?
There was 3?
I thought there were 3. There was the professor murder, the Hearst campus rapist.
Yeah, there's another that I do not remember.
Frick. Well, everyone can tell that season 3 is
fan favorite
in all of our minds.
I mean, I expected to see Mercer, but that's mostly because Ryan Devlin is always like, bring me back this time. So I think I saw something about him finally getting his wish.
The best thing about season 3 is the weird, like, Dick flirting with Mac D plot happening
yeah
throughout the season.
Oh yeah, I did forget about that too.
Nice callback.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting how much, speaking of callbacks, how much this season in particular calls back to season 3, even though season 3
is that was, why it's not good,
like Max appears.
Yeah, Max appears.
And he looks good.
I mean, he's all mellowed out from probably smoking as well as selling weed.
How high are you?
How high are you?
Man.
There were, and he was another one that I didn't know was happening. So when he popped up on screen, it was one of those moments like, oh my God, I know you.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Skipping around a little bit in this episode, Veronica and Keith go to the nut meeting. I think it's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the meeting and they start talking to this guy. And Veronica's like, oh my God, Max, how are you? And he owns a dispensary on the beach. And he was talking about how like he would get up to speak, but the group decided that it's probably best for the guy who runs a dispensary not to talk because it might get worse. And so that guy is Max's boyfriend from season 3. He was the one who I think had a...
He dated Mac, I think.
He dated Mac. He had, before that, didn't he have a sex worker girlfriend?
Yeah, I think so.
And was trying to track her down or something at some point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's so random.
And he was selling, I think he was also the one who was selling like papers and homework.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so he pops up at the end of this episode too.
What a great callback when I was really wanting.
I mean, it seems like you forget more about him than Tim the TA, which is interesting. But that's okay.
Sheriff Lamb died. Season 3.
Sheriff Lamb died, yeah.
Dan Did he Lamb really?
Is still alive. Yeah, Sheriff Lamb got shot.
Yeah.
In season 2, while he was on the scene in someone's house, I think.
This new sheriff is really great, and it kind of pisses me off that everyone is like, oh, she's a real piece of work.
Right? It's really interesting. We were kind of touching on that, I think, a little bit last week, but she's actually doing not a bad job. I mean, sure, there's still some hubris and, like, not wanting to give credit or, like, really investigate something in depth, but she's not nearly as bad as the Lambs were, but everyone keeps calling her out.
Yeah. And, like, I understand why Keith and Veronica are mad at her or, like, frustrated with her, because I also understand why she's frustrated with them. Mm-hmm. But, like, for Leo to show up and be like, oh, yeah, that sheriff's a real piece of work. It's like, Leo, what has she done to you? Nothing.
You just met the woman.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not like the FBI is unused to being met with hostility when they take over something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that comes with the territory. I don't know. Which I do want to get to Leo and all that. But in 1 second. So Tim the TA and Mercer have, like, zero information, basically, I think, for Veronica. I just thought it was weird that she would go to them. I mean, I get that they're, like, her contacts. But does everyone in jail know everyone?
I don't know who else she would check in on in Chino.
I feel like she would have to have someone that she had a connection to, or, like, who owed her a favor. She had random people in, like, the fire department in the pilot.
Yeah.
I don't know. But whatever. I enjoyed the little flashbacks and thought it was fun. So while she's doing that, Keith is doing some investigating of his own, and he finds out that Big Dick is buying up basically seaside businesses or anything like on the boardwalk, using both his own business and the front of shell companies that are pretending to be mom and pop shops. Because Big Dick is just a terrible human being. Basically. He's underselling, or underbidding, I guess, under offering for all of these, and more often than not, people are wanting to sell, especially to those mom and pop shops. So this is not out of character, I guess, for Big Dick and what we know of him. And it's, I mean, he's always going to be just terrible. I think it's interesting that a lot of the onus is being put on Big Dick, even though Clyde is working with him. I mean, obviously, Big Dick is the one who is in the real estate business firmly. But Clyde isn't really all that innocent here either. But of the two, Clyde is definitely the most personable and the one, I think, that makes the most sense for Keith to be friends with, because Keith would not be friends with Big Dick. We already know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's an interesting dynamic here where it's very easy to see Big Dick as this villain, where it, at least for me, it's hard to see Clyde as a villain, even though, like, he does some shady stuff. I don't know if you guys kind of have the same feeling about him or tie him to the real estate stuff at all.
I love Clyde, and we've already discussed this.
Yes, this is true.
Is he tied in the real estate stuff? I'm sure. I'm sure he's tied up in whatever Big Dick is doing. I'm sure he's a villain who's done bad things, but I love him.
He's likable.
Yeah. That
helps.
He's also, like, so cute with, like, his little hats. And, like, he's just, yeah.
And he's funny. Like him.
Yeah.
We have excellent taste.
Definitely.
I mean, he really does. And he gets along so well with Keith too, which I think is another thing that kind of endears us to him. Just because I think Keith is very much a moral center of the show, and for him to make friends with Clyde, while we also know that Clyde is under investigation, is just a interesting dynamic. Seeing them get day drunk on Keith's couch, like, I don't think we've ever seen Keith like that. And it's just interesting to see him let his guard down around this guy that Keith knows is kind of shady. But also the guy is helping him get doctor's appointments, which, like, good for you, Keith, milk that for all it's worth. The guy brings over whiskey and they have drinks. And so I think Keith is just as taken with Clyde as we are, or as we are supposed to be. And it's just really interesting to me.
But it's also a little bit sad because I don't think Keith has any other friends.
You know, that's true. This season does throw that into sharp relief. Like, he has Veronica and he keeps going to Veronica's house.
Yeah, and he's a little bit buddy with Logan.
Their relationship is really unhealthy, and I wish that they would explore more of that.
Which one?
Veronica and Keith's relationship. Like, they rely on each other too much as...
Yeah.
Like, beyond their parental relationship, like, because they also, like, work together and they kind of are each other's, like, only friend.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I can say that Veronica has a healthy relationship with anybody.
Yeah. Again, something I wish that they would explore more this season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same.
It is nice how they are exploring that with Logan, but I wish that they would explore that more with every single relationship she has.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she, and I think that's partially perhaps the reason why it doesn't feel as weird to not see a lot of her friends. Like, yes, we are sad that we're not seeing a lot of Wallace. Yes, it sucks that, like, Mac isn't around or we're not even talking to her. But it also makes sense because of how closed off she is and because she doesn't have, like, those healthy relationships. The person that she has the closest thing to a healthy relationship is her dad.
Which does make sense, but it also, I really wish that they would hang a lantern on it with Wallace, because Wallace has turned into such a grown-up mm-hmm. when she hasn't, and they show us glimpses of that, but I wish that they would make it more of a contrast, where either, like, this separation has happened, the separation between them has happened consciously on his part or something, because like, they did kind of do something about it back in, like, season 2 when he was dating Jackie, only we hated Jackie. So it didn't, but where he's like, you're always just asking me for favors and, like, I'm just doing things for you and you never do anything for me. Mm-hmm. And this relationship is so one-sided.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, actually. I think maybe that's why we see Veronica liking to hang out with Dick, because he also hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, she seems like she has almost, maybe not softened towards Dick. That sense of disdain is not as strong as it used to be. It's more of like, she likes poking fun at him, and she knows that he likes poking fun at her. So yeah, that would be interesting if that's the reason why, because he has changed.
Yeah, but his...
A little bit, but yes, in the grand scheme and in comparison to everyone else, not so much.
Yeah,
no, that is interesting. There are a couple other relationships, actually, with Veronica and other people that pop up in this episode. But before we get to that, I do want to quickly talk about the third bomb that goes off in this episode. And that is the one where the kind of gross college guy, I think he was the one who was, like, hitting on Sutter Island in the beginning. And then later at Comrade Quack's, he was, like, being gross and trying to slip roofies into a girl's drink, I think. But regardless, this guy wakes up on the beach with a bomb strapped around his neck. And after it takes, I guess, a while for... He needs other people to tell him that he has a bomb strapped to his neck. But at least he had, I guess, the good thought as to, once it starts beeping really quickly, to run away from people and not further towards people. the bomb goes off. It basically incinerates his head or eviscerates his head. And so it was a more, I don't know, wasn't a large scale bomb like the other ones. But I think this one for me was probably the worst of the three. Because while we don't see it actually going off, the way the guy's body flops on the ground is forever burned into my brain. Like, that was kind of hard for me.
Well, I'm going to seem like a horrible person because I thought that scene was super cool.
I mean, not a terrible person.
Yeah.
What was cool about it? What entertained you?
It wasn't entertained necessarily, but it was visually impressive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't seem hokey, or the way that it just stopped the body felt real. So I guess I didn't as much enjoy the scene as I did the attention to detail, I guess.
No, I think that makes sense. I think there was quite a bit of thought put into just how a body would look.
It was well made.
If this happened, yeah. So I think like the same thing stuck out to you then that stuck out to me. And that was the way that the body just like fell down.
And the arm just
left arm kind of flopped and bent behind it. Like, that's what I see.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that in when I close my eyes for the rest of my years.
That was not what I was expecting to see when I heard the bomb go off. Like, I thought maybe he'd like explode more, not just the head. So it
not
was
just the head. Okay.
Yeah. So it also the unexpected. Yeah. Headless man.
Gotcha. Ariana, how did you feel about this bomb in particular?
It was unnerving, and it's creepy. I mean, I don't want to pretend like I felt too much, but it's very, I think watching it the second time was harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I don't know. He just wakes up and he sees it and he runs into the crowd. And then what really gets me is like when he runs away from the crowd. I don't know if he was doing it on purpose or not, but
yeah, I mean, I
don't know. It's so sad.
I've been trying to think, like, is the more, I guess we'll call it a personalized or individualized bomb scarier than one that's just placed in a public place? Like, I think it would be terrifying to know of a bomber who just puts these things on unsuspecting people and like they have zero chance.
Yeah. Because everyone else can run away.
Mm-hmm.
But the person with the bomb on them, not only could they not run away, but like it's almost like you have to like sacrifice yourself and not seek help, because then you're taking more people with you.
Mm-hmm. And like with one that's in a public place, it's kind of like luck or lack thereof that you're in the location when the bomb goes off, whereas this one, there's no way around it. Like, no luck will help you.
And you know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like Saw, the movies, except he has no option of getting out of it. He's just terrified.
Yeah. I think unnerving, as Ariana called it, I think that's the perfect way of describing this bomb. Because it feels very personal. And yeah, it was very interesting. But I also think it's kind of interesting that I don't know if there was as much attention paid to this bomb as to the other ones. And I'm not sure if that's because they were already mainly like Veronica and Keith were mainly knee deep in trying to come to terms with the one that happened on the beach or on the boardwalk, wherever that second one was. that they just didn't have the bandwidth to like think specifically about this one. And even we were talking earlier about the police and how they're more capable this time around. But when it came to this bomb, the sheriff made a weird comment to someone that almost made it seem like, oh yeah, he was kind of gross and obnoxious and may or may not have had it coming to him, but I guess we're working on it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either of you had that feeling as well, that this one, even though it was more gruesome or just like feels worse, was more downplayed by everyone else on screen than the previous two.
I hadn't really thought about it, but I think you're right.
The bombs as a whole, I feel like, are being really downplayed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially now after the second bomb, but now that we have this third bomb, everyone should be a little bit more freaked out. But everyone is just going about their lives. Which, I don't know, we kind of do that too, so.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say, but.
But I mean, this is very specific. I mean, this is clearly like a very specifically targeted thing mm-hmm. in a very small area. The beaches should be totally cleared out.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, I don't think any of the police force or really anyone was thinking of this as a serial killer or a serial bomber until the FBI steps in and they name it that, which is a little unnerving as well. But I agree. I don't think they're taking the steps necessary to keep this from happening again or to try to keep anyone safe. Like, I understand that spring break is their business and that is part of the issue that's going on in this series. But at the same time, there has to be something that can be done because it's getting out of hand. But speaking of the FBI, so the FBI shows up, and who's in the FBI? None other than Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So can I take that mm-hmm as you were happy to see Leo again?
I was happy to see Max Greenfeld, or whatever his name is, but okay. Yeah, Leo as well. He has the same qualities as Kristen Bell. Like, he's so charming.
Mm-hmm.
So he's so likable.
Yeah.
Even when we're not supposed to like him.
I mean, if you think back on his story arc, he's very gray, I think.
Yeah, he's an adult who tries to date a 16-year-old.
Yeah, no, that's what I remember. And I was like, he was so, and at the time we watched this, I feel like I was significantly younger.
Yeah, so it,
you know, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
I mean, I feel like I was like 22. It wasn't quite, it didn't quite hit me just how inappropriate and creepy it was.
Yeah. He's supposed to be 20 and I think Veronica is 17. So it's not that.
It's still not okay.
He's still kind of an adult.
He's a student.
Anyone not in high school should not be trying to date someone in high school.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And there's also the tapes of Lily and Logan's dad thing that he tried to sell them.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, remind me?
Wait, yeah, he got in trouble and he got kicked off the police force.
Yeah, he stole the tapes that Aaron Eccles made of him and Lily. And I think Logan bought them and like set them on fire.
Yes, he was using the money to help support
his sister.
Because she had like Down syndrome, I think?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Oh, that's what? Right.
That's not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
That's horrifically gross. Oh, geez. Yeah. No, he's pretty awful.
Yeah, but his
I feel bad that I love him so much.
We remember so much from the show. Oh my God.
That's why you keep me around. But yeah, he's still so charming. I mean, Veronica's done some shady shit as well. We still like her because Kristen's charming.
I mean, yeah, he is super charming. And I think, I mean, this is my favorite scene, but I loved the way that his charm goes up against Logan's charm.
Mm-hmm.
when he goes to bring Veronica a pizza and like ask for her help or her input. I think by introducing Logan to someone from the series, from the original series like this, I think it brought out a lot of original Logan in this episode. Like we see a lot of his snark, and not only in moments with Leo, but just peppered throughout the episode. I think there's more of that kind of snark, and it kind of reignited a little bit of old Logan. But I loved, actually, I think this is Maya's favorite line, so I don't want to touch on it too much. But like he was just doing all of these callbacks, and you can see that Logan is not thinking that Leo is coming in on his turf, really. But he's just kind of like, who is this guy? Why is he here? I don't know. Those scenes between Logan and Leo were very enjoyable for me.
Yeah. It is. It's fun because that's the kind of Logan I want to see.
Yes.
I like that he's in control and that he's so grown up, basically. Like he's acting like an adult, but he's still like funny and he's got the wit that he can bring out.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen a lot of his quote of the day Logan-isms.
Yes.
And it makes me really happy.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yes, his quote of the day Logan-isms. Because like I could quote quite a few things from Logan from this episode specifically. Oh, so good. It's so good. But yeah, so Leo comes, brings Veronica a pizza, a mushroom pizza. Which, like, really, Leo? That's what you're going to bring her?
Hey, don't lock up mushroom pizzas.
I mean, Karen would be on your side, too, but also yeah. Mushroom pizza, though?
Good, okay.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But apparently it works, and even though Logan, it's not Logan's usual, Logan enjoys it very much so. So I guess it's fine.
I mean, Leo trying to explain the joke of bringing food to get information.
Yes.
Fell so flat, but it fell fantastically.
And I mean, you could tell that Logan was, there was some effort on his part to make sure that it fell flat.
Yeah.
It was so good. And then when Veronica walks in and sees the two of them together, the shock on her face is just, it's priceless.
Slight panic, I would say.
Slight panic, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think actually that slight panic was colored a bit for me because there was a shout out to a book plot.
Is that the second book?
Mm-hmm. The yeah. second book is all about Veronica investigating a rape case that happened at the Neptune Grand. And Leo comes in and she needs Leo's help to try to get the guy who did it. And
there's a moment in that book where...
Yes, there is quite a bit of tension between Veronica and Leo in that book. And that is only... And that's really made possible by the fact that Logan is deployed. So we see a lot of Logan, I think, over like video chats and stuff, but he's mm-hmm. not around. And so Leo and Veronica spend a lot of time together, and there's definitely something interesting going on there. And so to get that book plot shout out, and then also see the way Leo and Veronica are acting in this episode, like later on, they're on a stakeout because they're following Clyde, and they're just eating snacks and talking about their love lives and everything that's going on with them. There's that, it's almost like a scene that you would see between two single people that have been playing the will they, won't they dance for a while.
Yeah. And I think there's like a line in the book where Veronica thinks she's going to make a move and then she's wrong and she was kind of hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But the book canon is odd.
The book canon is odd. It's not completely canon with this season or with the show, but there are some things that they cherry pick, such as this thing between Veronica and Leo. I know that we all love Logan and love everything that's going on with him, but we're not necessarily huge fans of his relationship with Veronica, because we've spoken previously about how like Veronica hasn't seemed to have grown, and she's kind of stuck in this unhealthy view of her relationship with Logan. Would her and Leo be a better, have a better dynamic than her and Logan? Is that something that we would even want to see?
I think those are two different questions.
Okay.
Would they have a better dynamic? No, because I do feel like Veronica's fundamentally incapable of having a healthy relationship.
Fair.
At least romantically. Is that something we want to see? Yes.
Interesting.
I mean, I am very pro Veronica having an affair this season. I think it would spice things up. I kind of want Veronica and Logan to break up.
I think it's likely that Veronica will have an affair because I think she thrives on turbulence, and she likes having Logan be jealous and being the old school Logan, which, as we've been saying, isn't healthy.
I really want them to break up so that Veronica can appreciate what she had. I want her to miss him and realize that she's dumb.
Yeah.
What I would really like, I mean, assuming that like seasons were, that they were skipping around like 5 years in seasons, like I think it'd be really great to have, like to be able to see Logan with his own family and like really like settle down like Wallace. I think that would be
nice. Fascinating.
Yeah. And then they could have an affair, and that would also be fun to watch.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because I feel bad saying that I think Logan deserves better.
But, like, he really does.
Yeah, he really does, but we're supposed to, like, root for Veronica, but she's...
I mean, we can love and root for Veronica, but still, like, both things can be true.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, we... To love Veronica is to know Veronica, and to know Veronica is to know that she has these just terrible tendencies, and, like, she has these faults that don't quite mesh with, I don't know, having healthy relationships with others. So all of it can be true.
Yeah, good. So I can want him to deserve better, and I can still want them to be together. Yay.
Yeah. Like I said, I want him married to someone else, but having an affair with Veronica.
Love it.
Yeah. More threesomes. That's prime.
By the way, I do not condone affairs in real life. I think they're bad.
Yes. Yes.
Don't lie.
Fictional affairs only.
All right. Well, I mean, Leo is definitely, I think he gets some other interesting things in this season.
Question.
Yes.
He was with San Diego in the movie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He was definitely with San Diego in the book.
Yeah. And the chief is being like headhunted to join their department.
I think so. I think she's looking to make a transfer, which, yeah, let's talk about that really quickly, because that did not stick out to me my first time around, but this time it was weird. She's in the middle of a bombing case, and very publicly sort of trying to interview for another position elsewhere. But like, not only that, but when the interviewers decide like maybe now is not a good time because she should focus on her police work, she's trying to be like, no, I don't need to focus. Like, it's fine. Let's talk now.
Yeah.
That was really strange to me.
Like that plus also stalling on getting the FBI involved.
Yeah.
It vibes weirdly.
So I don't think she's incompetent. I don't think we're seeing an incompetent police force here. It just almost feels like a apathetic rather than incompetent, which in some ways could be worse.
Yeah. Because the first Sheriff Lamb was both, so.
Yes, this is very true. I mean, well, he got better.
He got better after the Manning case.
Yeah, a little bit.
We should see her again. Meg's little sister. Because she was in the book.
Yeah, that would be nice. Maybe someday. Mm-hmm. Now that we know the books are canon.
Season 5.
All right. But back to this episode. I feel like we have a huge wish list coming out of this episode of things that we want. But at least one thing was kind of struck off of our wish list, and that's seeing Weevil and Veronica together, which is good. Veronica goes to confront the gang member that she had tased while he was trying to mug her. And more bikers show up. They obviously don't really know her. They don't know her relationship or dynamic with Weevil, trying to attack her while the philosopher Mexican cartel member kind of looks on. Weevil saves Veronica and they kind of get into it. I really enjoy seeing their dynamic, especially when they're antagonistic toward each other, because I think their barbs and like their insults kind of cut a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I want to see them together, and I wish there was more information here of like why they weren't speaking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because right, this is a good place to drop some things from the book.
Yes.
So yes, this was very confusing because they ended the movie, I thought, on good terms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they ended the movie. Weevil was in the hospital because he had been shot by Celeste. And I think we get in the movie that...
I think the last scene
is going to represent him. Right?
I think the last scene is him getting back on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And driving off.
That's true. Yes, you're
after
right.
After having gone straight.
So there's quite a bit that happens with Weevil and... his case against Celeste and everything that happened to him and kind of police corruption, which I know, Mai, you're obviously watching along as we go along here. It does get touched on a little bit, and it's not completely the same as the books, but it's pretty close.
Okay.
But it's interesting that they leave it shouldn't be assumed, I guess, that everyone has read the books, because like that's just not a thing. That's not something that you can hope for. So it's interesting that they don't give really any context for why Weevil and Veronica are antagonistic at this point. When, mm-hmm. as you said, when we last saw them, not only were they friendly in the movie, but you get that sort of parallel with both of them at the end, saying that like it's hard to get away the drug or the alcohol metaphor. Like they... Yeah. It's something that they can't escape, and there's something that they're going to fall back into, like an addict.
And he was so happy to see her in the movie.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But I guess, regardless of how this interaction goes, I'm assuming it was nice for everyone to see Weevil and Veronica together again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now I just want to see Weevil with Keith so that Keith can call him Eli.
Yes. The only person who calls him Eli.
Mm. I love that. Veronica was stupid in this scene.
Veronica is so dumb.
Yeah. Going there alone and being like poking the nest. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Not her finest moment, I would say. Yeah, I'm not sure if we get anything, I can't remember if we get anything super hard-hitting in this. She basically accuses him of working with Big Dick, or working with the people who are trying to shut down Spring Break, and he kind of just says to mind her own business.
Have choices.
Yeah, you have choices. Which I guess leads me to my next question. Like, I understand being in a really... really tough spot. Like, I don't envy what Weevil has gone through, at least canonically in the book up to this point. I don't envy it. And the fact that, like, at least he's back in his shop, he's probably having a chop shop. Like, that's not great. But does it feel in character for Weevil to do this and work with those people who have been so terrible to him in the past?
I mean, it depends on what they have on him.
I feel like we have way too little information. And I'm sorry to say, I don't think this season provides any more later on. Because I did feel like it was weird and out of character just because I don't remember. I mean, from what I remember at the end of the, and I read the first book, and I just remember him being like in a good place, and him and Veronica being in a good place. And like in the movie, when he was on the straight and narrow, that seemed very in character, that he would grow up and he was always like smart enough.
Yeah.
To do that. But I mean, yeah, but yeah, like, but there's a lot of very smart people who do fall into this, but I think you have to give them a reason, and I'm not sure we got one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we will.
I think it's kind of like they're asking us to fill in the gap, which usually is fine, but we've literally only seen Weevil, what, once before this season and during the season?
Yeah.
At the barbecue?
I mean, it feels weighty when he says to Veronica that it must be nice to have choices, because it feels like he doesn't have one. So I want to know why. What's making him feel like he doesn't have a choice?
I agree. I think the season focuses a lot on the new characters, the new plot lines, and trying to flesh those out and give information around that. And to an extent, like, it does a good job with the three main title characters, but it also very much tries to downplay the characters from its history. And I think that's perhaps why we don't get a lot of context here, because like, it feels almost like the show demotes those characters that we love to cameos, even when it tries to bring them in and tries to connect them to the central mystery. Like, it doesn't, I know that they were trying to get away from the CW vibes that it used to have and kind of move forward and not pander nearly as much as the movie did. But at the same time, you can't just bring characters back in the capacity of a cameo and expect that to satisfy, especially if you're like trying to cameo them while also tying them in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Like, it felt like the whole scene was actually just so that the cartel guy could see Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see her in action, see what her
emotions
look like, how she operates.
Yeah. Which, you know, is fine, I guess. They say, rolling my eyes.
Yeah. So I do know that there is more, a little bit more with Weevil coming. And I think we get slightly more context, but not much. So I would like to check in with you, Mai, after we see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Good. All right. Let's touch on the last few things. The last few plot points that happen in this episode. One, we get more of the murderinos. Maddie basically goes to one of their meetings to just kind of sit in. And she kind of confesses to them what she told Keith and Veronica, which then kind of empowers Pizza Guy later to take her, kind of her consensus, as well as things that he finds out from like bugging their office, the Mars Investigations office, and confronts Big Dick at the big meeting, causes a huge uproar, and like, it's really not pretty. I think that Pizza Guy's relationship with Maddie is strange in that in the pilot episode, it kind of looked like he at least a little bit cared about her. But to bring her to a meeting like this and subject her to the murderinos and then turn around and just kind of like use her as information is really obnoxious. It's really not okay.
Yeah, it's really not okay on lots of levels. And this is a relationship that I could have rooted for if he wasn't so creepy. Mm-hmm. That, like, in a way, them bonding over having shared this shared trauma and him kind of, like, taking her under his wing, like, trying to look out for her
Yes.
Because he was there when her dad died and kind of forming a new, like, paternally feeling towards her. But that's not what's happening.
No. It's not what's happening. He's just kind of pumping her for murderino information.
Yeah, I don't understand why she hangs out with him, really.
Yeah, I don't understand why she's so stupid. Like, we're supposed to think that she's, like, this brilliant little girl. And she's being so dumb. Veronica would never do this.
Veronica did some dumb stuff.
I was going to say, I think...
Do you think Veronica would take these people seriously?
No.
No.
But, on the other hand, if Veronica is desperate enough for any sort of insight, yeah, I don't know. I don't think she would take them seriously, though.
I don't know if Maddie takes them seriously or if she's just trying to figure out what they know so that she can use that.
I think Maddie's brand of stupid and Veronica's brand of stupid, there is some overlap, but it's relatively different. But at the same time, they both have a brand of stupid. And I think that's what we're supposed to connect. Like, it's another connection, I think, that the show is forging between them.
Yeah, we didn't see Veronica's brand of stupid when she first started out being a PI as a teen.
No, and I mean, we didn't see her in the immediate aftermath of
no. murder. And the flashbacks, she's kind of naive.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
So I think Maddie has potential, but she can also go horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. She has potential either way.
Yeah. Superhero, super villain.
And speaking of brands of stupid, we also get Vinnie Van Lo back once again. Because you can't have Veronica Mars without Vinnie Van Lo.
Yeah. Another charmer.
Another charmer. Which, after doing Agent Carter and then coming to this, it feels just like the same person again. Which I find really entertaining.
Same but different.
I mean, yeah. Same but different. But I think it's interesting that the Maloofs try to be very discerning and, like, careful about the people that they associate with. And then she's all about hiring Vinnie Van Lo. I get that she's desperate to get that stupid ring back. But also Vinnie Van Lo.
Yeah. I mean, is that the only other PI?
Right? There has to be at least another, but...
Like, bring somebody in from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he can't do his celebrity spying business anymore. That's not working out for him, so he's back on the streets.
As dumb as he is, I love him.
Oh, 100%. I think he's very entertaining. I love the way that he quips with the Marses. And like I was telling you, Mai, right before we started recording, I loved the interaction about the Avengers. And then, like, Logan coming in with a quip about the Vision a couple minutes later. Like, I think they all fit together very well, even though they're not on the same side. And obviously the Marses are much smarter than him. But I think he adds to the dynamic in a really interesting way. But at the same time, like, I didn't care about the ring at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really invested in the ring. I like the fact that the ring has led to Vinnie Van Lo coming back. But I don't know. It just seems so pointless.
At this point, I just don't want them to have it. Like, whoever does have it, fuck it is. I don't care as long as the mom doesn't get it back.
Mm-hmm.
She's annoying.
Yeah, and like they're having all-out fights in front of Logan, which even if Logan couldn't understand them, you can kind of tell what's going on, even if you can't understand what's going on. But yeah, at least we get Vinnie Van Lowe out of that. And it kind of sounds like we're of consensus that we don't really care about the ring plot line. So we can kind of put that into the bucket with the cartel plot line as well, which luckily, I mean, at least for me, luckily we don't see much of in this episode.
Like the cartel is more interesting than the ring.
And I guess the last thing to touch on before we wrap up for today, the last kind of important thing is Veronica is investigating the bombings and finds a nail that could lead to figuring out who's behind the bombings and what's going on. And as we mentioned before, she catches Clyde at the hardware store. And just because he's at the hardware store and she has a nail, she's going to follow him. Which to me seems like a little bit of a stretch and kind of like she's...
This is an embarrassing stretch for Veronica.
Like she's grasping for reasons to follow him or investigate him.
Yeah, because this is just so dumb. Like, does she think that he goes to the hardware store and like picks up bomb supplies and just like waltzes out of there and then goes and sees a PI? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know. I feel like men of a certain age go to the hardware store. Like, it's not a shady place to go.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, these are the same ones. Like, they're just regular nails.
Right.
They're regular. It's not like something special.
I don't know. It's weird. I get that she needed some reason to tie it together, but it just didn't feel like a good enough one.
She needed some reason to hang out with Leo for several hours.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't have to wait around for as long as they did. They could have gone in.
Mm-hmm. Like, what did she think was going to happen? She followed them to Mars Investigations.
She could have...
So obviously nothing super shady was going down because her dad was there.
She could have, like, fake called her dad and asked what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
She wouldn't have spent time with Leo then.
Yeah.
Or she would have had to go home. But that's Veronica.
I wonder if Leo has Max Greenfield's abs. Because
yes.
I just feel like the character they portray may not.
Like he just eats a lot.
I'm sure he does. He just, yeah. I mean, he eats so many like M&Ms, but maybe that's why he has to, because he needs to like replenish himself from all the working out.
Maybe.
Those are good thoughts. I would like to hear more.
That's the end of my thought.
Yeah. I mean, he is in the FBI. They probably have, like, training program or something.
I mean, at the beginning, but usually they kind of let those things go.
I haven't seen Max's abs, so I don't know, but...
A new girl. They're always on display.
Hmm.
That's, like, part of his thing on New Girl.
Yes. Yes, it is.
He's also annoyingly charming on New Girl, where he plays like the worst character, but you love him.
It's hard not to love him, especially when he looks like Max Greenfield.
He is so pretty.
I feel like what really does it is his smile.
Yes.
There's like a twinkle in his eyes.
And he has like little dimples.
Yeah. Something about him feels like so safe. Even though he's done very shady things.
Yeah, because he'll smile at you and make it better.
Now I'm just going to be thinking about him all day long.
That's not bad.
Not a bad thing. Is there anything else about this episode that anyone would like to bring up that we glossed over?
There's just one teeny tiny little bit.
Okay.
And that's when Dick says he has news or he got it. And then Veronica says chlamydia, which, you know, she got from his brother when he raped her.
Oh my god.
Maybe not joke about that.
Oh my god.
That went over my head.
It went over my head too.
Wow. It's amazing what the show remembers and forgets.
Yeah. Like before the scene in Chino, she talks about like her best friend being killed and being raped before she's 17. Doesn't incline her to mercy. So it's not like they forgot about it. It's not a good joke.
Well then, that's an interesting note to end on, but we're going to leave it there. I have nothing. We're going to leave it there. Chlamydia. All right. Let's get into our favorite scenes and our favorite lines. My favorite scene is Leo trying to visit Veronica, but meeting Logan instead. As we discussed, I just really enjoyed that dynamic between Leo and Logan. It was priceless and I loved it very much.
You stole that scene.
I know I did. I'm happy about it. So since I stole that scene, what is your favorite scene?
It's when Veronica and her dad are talking about the woman with the Ken fetish thing, and then they walk in and the first thing they says is pimpin' Kane. It's like maybe it's not a woman with a Kane fetish. Well, maybe it's Vinny.
I love it. Ariana, your favorite scene?
It wasn't so much a scene as a person, because sure. I am pretty sure I hated that entire scene, mm-hmm. of Weevil showing up, but I love what it symbolized. Not really. It's hard for me because I hate so much what they're doing.
Yes.
With this gang and this cartel, and I hate it all. But I love Weevil with all my heart. And so I love that he's still got her back and that he still is allowed to be like so smart and quick. And I love their dynamic, which I feel like we should get a lot more of. But he's always been one of the few people who not only is as smart, if not smarter than Veronica,
yes.
but is not afraid to call her out mm-hmm. on all of her bullshit. Like, he's just not afraid to. And he sees her. He sees her for what she is, not with rose-colored glasses. Like even some other people do,
mm-hmm.
which I love. And I love that he told her, like, you have choices. Like you are acting like you're stuck here, but she does. She has choices. Whatever her life is now, that's what she's chosen.
Yeah. She chose to come back to that.
Yeah. She chose to come back to Neptune. She chose to be working as a PI. She had another life and she could at any time go back to it, but this is what she's choosing. Her misery with Logan, something she's choosing. Everything is her fault.
And she didn't even have to be a PI in Neptune.
No.
And a lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm so annoyed at her.
Oh, wait till the next scene we get with Weevil. Spouting more truths. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like their dynamic because, like you said, he sees her for who she is and then he chooses to still try to maintain that friendship.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Like it is, he has choices in that way and he chooses to be her friend.
Yeah.
I also think that to kind of color a little bit more, like he brings a lot of warmth. And I think that's probably why we may have not liked that scene, but like loved Weevil in it. Because while we might not love everything that's going on, like he just has this warmth about him, even when he's trying to be intimidating.
Yeah.
And even if Veronica doesn't deserve it. So yeah. I like that your favorite scene is a favorite person.
Yeah, maybe we can start doing that if we don't have a favorite scene.
Yes, I agree. All right, and then in terms of favorite lines, mine might not come as a surprise, but mine is from Dick, and it's when Sarah Hyland like isn't taking his shit anymore, and he goes, "Hey, come back! I was 100 feet away from a bombing today. I need to be held." It's classic Dick for me, and I loved it very much.
It also puts a timeline on the bombings.
It does. See, Dick's being helpful.
Aww.
Oh, look at him go. I'm going to miss him. Mai, you had another one of my favorite lines. Can you please share it with us?
Yes, it is during your favorite scene when Leo is visiting. And Logan goes, "I think Piz is back there too, somewhere." Piz?
Oh, Piz.
Piz. Love Piz.
I wonder what he's doing.
Hopefully he has a nice, stable girl who appreciates him.
Yeah. Yeah. Who has time to meet his family.
Oh, Piz.
Oh, Piz. Hopefully he wifed up in the 5 years or however long it's been.
Yeah. Ugh.
And Ariana, you actually had one of my other favorite lines, or I love this line as well.
I missed it the first time I watched it, and the second time I was like, oh, this is so great.
Yes.
It's when Vinny is like, "You know what, you guys need to solve this thing," and Logan goes, "Vision." And the first time, that's where it stopped, and I just thought that was the joke. He's like, "Oh, wait, I was still on Bald Avengers."
It's so perfect.
It's so Logan.
It's so OG Logan. Great choice. Love it so much. All right. Well, if you have favorite scenes, favorite lines, or thoughts about this episode, or, I mean, musings about Max Greenfield's abs, we'll take any and all of it. Please get in contact with us. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. Find us on Tumblr. We're rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And also, we would love for you to reach out through an iTunes review. For every 5-star review or just any review in general that's left, I mean, that helps other people find us. So all good things can come from it. But if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, your incentive for this week is that Karen, who is a legit snack, will bring you all the snacks. And I can confirm that both of those things are true and that she will do that. So, and if you would like to start making your wish list of snacks, you can do so in our Facebook group. You can find us on Facebook at Rewatchables Rewinders. We're there discussing this episode, previous episodes of Veronica Mars, previous rounds that we've done, some things that I don't understand that have to do with Avatar. It's all good fun, though. And yes, we would love more people to come join us. So again, our Facebook group is called Rewatchables Rewinders. We only have one piece of listener feedback this week. Mai, would you like to take this tweet?
I sure would. Mariah Lovegood says, oh, I already know what the title is referencing. #justiceforcorny.
#justiceforcorny.
Why did you guys bring up Corny last week? What happened to Corny?
So apparently in the pilot episode, when Keith is doing physical therapy and he has that terrible physical therapist, do you remember that?
That's Corny.
That's supposed to be Corny. Like, that is Corny.
It's the same actor.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am very mad about it.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Corny would never.
Corny would never do, Corny would never be that awful. He would be talking to Keith. And he would never.
I do remember Danielle really like going hard for Corny back in the day.
Corny and Dick, like, I don't know exactly why, but I love them so much. I will go to the mat for either of them.
Yeah. That's a type, though.
But yeah, So justice for Corny. He would never do anything like that. Also, he would never become a physical therapist. He has too many good invention ideas.
No, like he would join up with Max and have that. What do they sell? Weed?
Yeah, he would totally work for How High Are You?
Yeah.
It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. All right, so.
Still mad. Right,
what'd you say?
Still mad.
Still mad. Yeah. But hopefully this last segment will make me less mad. It is now time for Mai's meditations for Veronica Mars Season 4, Episode 5, Losing Streak.
Oh, man. I mean, I was right about the last time. I said that someone would lose their head. So I feel good about that.
You feeling good about someone losing their head? Good. Good, good.
I feel good about being right.
Mm-hmm.
Losing streak. I don't know. Not based on a title, but I think, yeah, somebody's going to get bombed again. Definitely. I hope to see them talk about Keith, because he had another little lapse in this episode
where
he got the name of the dude he was talking to.
Yeah, he forgot Maloof's last name.
Yeah, so I need that to happen. And if Leo's going to be around, then I'm going to guess that Logan and Veronica are going to fight.
Sounds like you're super into that.
I mean, depends on if they make up.
Okay. All right. Then we will leave it there. And we'll just have to see what that fight looks like, if there is one, in the next episode or so. I can't remember, but we'll figure it out. So anyway, until then, until we discuss Losing Streak, I am Danielle.
I'm Mai.
And I'm Ariana.
See you later, marshmallows.
Bye.
Bye.
A long time ago. Wait, do we still do that?
Yes, do we play the original one.
The original one, good.
Yes.
I hate the new one.
Yeah. The new one sucks.
Yeah, no, it's really bad.
It grew on me a little bit.
I did not hate it the first time, but each subsequent time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this necessary? Why are you trying so hard?
Interesting. I went the other way. I hated it the first time, and then I think it just wore me down.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just hating it.